Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, December the 7th, 2023. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy, or so I'm told. What do you say we get things started with?
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. This is an interesting one. It says, every day there's sad news and bad news, but each day itself is glad news.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Which kind of proves that God has a strange sense of humor.
I don't think that's funny.
Now, let's move along to the so-called educational part of the blogcast. Here we go.
Twisted history.
Big stuff.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, I mean.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Uh-huh.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
So be it.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah, see? Well, kids, it was on this day in 1932, German-born Swiss physicist Albert Einstein was granted an American visa. Germany's loss, our gain. And it was on this day in 1963, instant replay made its debut during the Army-Navy football game in Philadelphia. It was more of a gimmick at that time, pretty much just to please the viewers at home. Because it wasn't put to use to settle disputed calls until, a lot of years later.
Yes, I can hear sets being clicked off all over this great land of ours.
I don't know if you watched it or not, but Tuesday night, Sean Hannity hosted President Trump in another town hall. It wasn't anything earth-shaking. Not really. Not anything that would provoke me to do a complete summary of it. He was typically Donald Trump. If nothing else, he re-illustrated why he should be in the White House. Not just next year, he should be in the White House right now. I have the feeling that within about 30 days' time, he would have the country back on a much better path. But, you know, that's just America. We play politics with just about every darned thing we do. Well, we have an interesting story from Epoch Times. And learning losses across developed nations in the wake of the COVID pandemic are now being measured. Turns out teenagers in developed nations, including the United States, have seen a decline in their reading and math test scores, which we already knew. Experts attribute in part to learning loss during the lockdown. The OECD, that's the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, for International Student Assessment, examines what students know in mathematics, reading, and science, and what they can do with the knowledge they have via annual tests. And I know that, you know, they've reached this conclusion that the COVID lockdown put our students at a disadvantage because they were locked down, which, of course, is pure bullcorn. Pure bullcorn. Kids are dumb upon graduation because they're not being taught reading, writing, arithmetic, science, history. They're being indoctrinated with leftist BS. Now, this PISA, that's PISA, that's the Program for International Student Assessment. They typically conduct the testing every 3 years, but the planned 2021 test was postponed because of the pandemic, of course. I don't know. I get the feeling more and more every day that this world is being run by a bunch of idiots. And I mean that in the true sense of the word, idiot. In 2022, as nations were still dealing with the ongoing impacts of the pandemic, nearly 700,000 students from 81 OECD members and partner economies, representing 29 million across the world, took the PISA test, which was administered among 15-year-olds. And results from the latest assessment found, on average, an unprecedented drop in performance across the OECD members and partner economies, which include Australia, Canada, the U.S., the UK, and Germany. There are a few others in there. But apparently they're not. They're nations that aren't that important, so they don't deserve mentioning. Now, when compared to 2018, mean performance across participating nations in reading fell by 10 points and nearly 15 points in math, which is equivalent to three-quarters of a year's worth of learning, according to their findings. Now, the decline in mathematical scores is three times greater than any previous consecutive change, according to the assessment. And when it comes to science, scores changed little since 2018, according to the latest findings. Still, the latest results have sparked concern among the OECD, which noted that one in four of the students tested are now considered to be low performers in mathematics, reading, and science on average across OECD countries. Now, understand, when we're referring to these OECD countries, we're talking about countries that have cultures very similar to our own. And their schools, too, are preoccupied with indoctrination of leftist ideology rather than reading, writing, arithmetic, science, history. So the OECD said of the latest assessment results in the report, they said, this means they can struggle to do tasks such as use basic algorithms or interpret simple texts. This trend is more pronounced in 18 countries and economies where more than 60% of 15-year-olds are falling behind. You know when you're going to notice this the most? In another 10 years, you're going to turn on your TV to listen to the news, and the anchor is going to be stumbling while trying to read the teleprompter. It's going to be unable to get a complete sentence out without stumbling. What do you want to bet? Now, according to the latest data, the United States, which has historically lagged behind other OECD countries, ranked 28th out of 37, scoring on average of 465 points on the test, 7 points lower than the average OECD score of 472. The average math score among American teens fell by 13 points between 2019 and 2022. That's serious stuff, my friend. And that's compared with a decline of 15 points for the typical country in the OECD. Reading and science stayed mostly even, a trend that was mainly seen among OECD countries overall. So, Martin West, who's the academic dean at Harvard Graduate School of Education, said in a statement, learning loss due to the pandemic was a global phenomenon. We've never seen in an international assessment consistent declines across a large number of school systems in the way we see here. Interesting point. Elsewhere, the assessment found that Albania saw the greatest decrease in math scores with a decline of 69 points. And then that was followed by Jordan with 39 points and Iceland with 36. But the findings also raised concerns among nations including Germany, Iceland, and the Netherlands, which saw drops of 25 points or more in math scores. 20 points is roughly equivalent to a year's worth of learning. Just to kind of illustrate how serious this is. Singapore had the highest scores by far across all three subjects, while several nations, including Canada, Estonia, and Japan, also performed better than average on all three exams. Now, despite the decline in test results in past years, the study authors stressed the latest results can only be partially attributed to the COVID-19 pandemic, noting that scores in reading and science had already been falling prior to the stringent lockdowns. And so I'm going to argue here again. One more time, I'm going to bring this up. I'm the supreme skeptic. I'm not buying all of this. I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that the thrust of most public school systems, particularly in today's Judeo-Christian cultures, they're preoccupied with indoctrination. The actual reading, writing, arithmetic is not the priority of these faculties and the management systems that govern these faculties. Now, we have some examples here. We got Belgium, Canada, Czechia, Finland, France, Hungary, Iceland and the Netherlands, New Zealand, and Slovakia had already been experiencing negative trends in math performance prior to 2018. And, yeah, I mean, COVID played a huge role in this. It really did. It disrupted the world's educational system. But how great a role does this trend toward indoctrinating students play in this? I think it's a significant role. Certainly more study is needed. But the OECD wrote in their assessment, the relationship between pandemic-induced school closures, often cited as the main cause of performance decline, is not so direct. Gee, why is that? Across the OECD, around half of the students experienced closures for more than 3 months. However, PISA results show no clear difference in performance trends between education systems with limited school closures, like Iceland, Sweden, and Chinese Taipei, and systems that experience longer school closures like Brazil, Ireland, and Jamaica. Overall, the OECD noted a strong connection between investment in education and average performance, along with parental engagement and teacher support in student learning. Now, the OECD also wrote, PISA data shows that teachers' support is particularly important in times of disruption, including by providing extra pedagogical motivational support to students. The availability of teachers to help students in need had the strongest relationship to mathematics performance across the OECD compared to other experiences linked to COVID-19 school closure. These students were also more confident than their peers to learn autonomously and remotely. Interesting little kink in the story there, right? The fact that these students were more confident than their peers to learn autonomously. But despite this, just 1 in 5 students overall reported that they received extra help from teachers in some of their mathematics lessons last year, while about 8% said they never or almost never received additional support, according to the assessment. So there you have it. Yeah, the COVID closures, the lockdowns, played a huge role in this. But I think you're also going to find that indoctrination, liberal, leftist indoctrination, wokeness played a significant role too. Because if you recall, around the time of the lockdown, this is when wokeism really took a huge spike. Caden Pearson of the Epoch Times writes that Kash Patel, a former national security prosecutor who served under President Trump, said Tuesday that a new Trump administration elected in 2024 would prosecute members of the U.S. media who acted as conspirators and lied about American citizens. Yeah, there's an attention getter for you. He says, we'll go out and find the conspirators, not just in government, but in the media. Yes, we're going to come after the people in the media who lied about American citizens, who helped Joe Biden rig presidential elections. Wow. Now, this was Patel speaking on Steve Bannon's War Room podcast on Tuesday. I don't know if you've ever caught Bannon's program, that podcast, but it's excellent. And when I think of people like Joel Scarborough, the Morning Joe program on MSLSD, and the lies that he and his wife, Mika Brzezinski, tell morning after morning after morning. You know, I'm like, God, when is somebody going to go after these people? Now, Patel's remarks were made during a broader conversation on the Democrats' 2024 strategy and his new book titled Government Gangsters, The Deep State, The Truth, and the Battle for Our Democracy. I like that title. I mean, you know, if you're, imagine you're going through a Books A Million store and you see this cover that says, Government Gangsters, The Deep State, The Truth, and the Battle for Our Democracy. That would kind of get your attention, wouldn't it? Well, the deep state, which Steve Bannon described as an unconstitutional fourth branch of government, is going to be dismantled brick by brick, noting that this process is going to include criminal and civil prosecutions. Now, I believe it because it's painfully clear that Donald Trump, who said he was going to drain the swamp, didn't get to drain the swamp. Because any swamp drainage that might have happened during a first term of President Trump was basically put on the back burner during the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, in framing his questions about the timeline for potential prosecutions against members of the media, Steve said he wanted news producers who might be listening to his podcast to know this is not just rhetoric. We're absolutely dead serious. Then Patel said that prosecutions could come swiftly under a new Trump administration with an important caveat. Prosecutors will follow the facts and the law. He said the one thing we'll do that they, the Democrats, never will do is we'll follow the facts and the law and go to the courts of law and correct these justices and lawyers who've been prosecuting these cases based on politics and actually issuing them as lawfare, which we've all witnessed, right? I like this guy, Prakash Patel. He's a no BS kind of a guy. He says, we're going to come after you, whether it's criminally or civilly. We'll figure that out. But yeah, we're putting you all on notice. And Steve, this is why they hate us. This is why they're tyrannical. This is why they're weird dictators. And of course, that was a slam against what we've been hearing in news headlines recently from the left. You know, they say that they're dictators. Donald Trump is going to be a dictator. My God, we've been hearing that from some of the rhinos, which is absolute garbage. I like to use the British word rubbish. That word has a nice ring to it, rubbish. And then he added, he says, because we're actually going to use the Constitution to prosecute them for crimes they said we've always been guilty of but never have. So true. Now, Trump was branded a dictator in recent articles, and that was also the case on quite a few television programs here recently. So, one of which was published by the Washington Post, which is about as leftist a rag as you're going to find anywhere. And it was published Monday, titled The Fear of a Looming Trump Dictatorship. And another was by Salon. Okay, Salon actually outlefts the Washington Post. But Salon on Tuesday published one titled, Americans are sleepwalking into a Trump dictatorship. Well, that's fine for rhetoric, except for one thing. Donald Trump has a very deep respect for our Constitution. So anyhow, Trump, who rejected the headlines, claims, in fact, he quipped Tuesday that he'll only be a dictator on his first day in office. I love that. It was actually pretty funny. Explaining his remarks, he told Fox's Sean Hannity during that town hall, which, by the way, took place in Iowa. He says, we're closing the border and we're drilling, drilling, drilling. After that, I'm not a dictator, okay? He's a funny man. So then Steve Bannon sought Cash Patel's thoughts on his contention that the Democrat strategy for the 24 presidential race involved conspiring with left-wing legacy media outlets to launch a coordinated campaign to paint President Trump as a dictator. Well, we're seeing this already. You know, naturally the left is going to deny it. The media is going to deny it. But the truth is there. We're seeing it. We're hearing it. They're printing it. So, according to Bannon, who said black and Hispanic men are leaving Democrats, he says Democrats can't run a winning presidential campaign touting the U.S. economy, geopolitics, national security, or even race-related issues. Yeah, the Democrats are losing big time on those counts. Therefore, the only thing they can run on is to claim that President Trump is a dictator. His Christian and Catholic supporters are a bunch of jackboots more dangerous than Al-Qaeda. And this is based on things they have already been saying and printing. Bannon says that is their campaign. That's what we're highlighting. Oh, yeah, you have to highlight it. You cannot let up. You've got to show these bastards for who they really are. Now, Patel, who's previously served as Department of Defense Chief of Staff and is also a former terrorism prosecutor, agreed with Steve's assessment. And I think that's important. So quoting Patel, he says, Steve, it goes down to one thing. They know that they can't bring up a better policy than President Trump on anything. Not the border, not taking on the CCP, not defeating Iran, not taking on Russia, not taking on the DPRK, which is North Korea, not ending forever wars, not ending human trafficking, not ending the drug cartels, anything. They have no better policy. And so what they turn to is their radical left-wing conspirators in the fake news media. And then he expressed the view that recent headlines calling President Trump a dictator are the last thing Democrat operatives have left in their arsenal. And I have a tendency to agree with that. Democrats and members of the legacy media, according to Mr. Bannon, are afraid that a new Trump administration will mean those who've acted unlawfully may be held accountable by a Trump Department of Justice. Well, you can pretty well bet on it, because Trump isn't screwing around. And I don't think the American people want Trump to screw around. I think they want Trump to go after these bastards. And then Bannon said, and you know, Bannon is a bit of a loose cannon. Bannon the loose cannon, but I love the guy. He says, I think one of the fears I'm hearing is that they understand that, hey, we have the receipts. We know exactly what they did. We know exactly who did it. We've sent them the letters to say, hold your papers. Don't destroy your emails. Don't destroy your servers. They don't like it. They've never had accountability, and this is why they're in panic mode. And then Patel said, the left and the radical left-wing media are running away from evidence. True. We're even seeing that. Now, you know it's got to be true, because when people on the street level are seeing this, now, naturally, you have a huge contingent of voters who don't pay attention to any damn thing. And they go into a voting booth on election day, and all they do is they punch in the names they recognize. Whether the person is good, bad, or indifferent doesn't matter to them. They voted. You know, they can walk out of the booth and say, well, I voted. Yeah, but you voted for a line of idiots. So Patel said, noting the irony that the two-tiered system of justice, he says, the Biden administration's been using to target Trump might backfire, he says, now they're actually saying, the left is saying, Donald Trump is going to dare to use the DOJ and the FBI to act out acts of political vengeance. Well, duh. You guys did it first. What goes around comes around. Life on this planet is a giant pendulum, and that pendulum swings back and forth. Well, it's swinging back. And then he says, the only difference is the left knows they're the ones that broke the law. And then he pointed to the, again, this is Patel speaking, because he pointed to the Russiagate hoax in the 2020 presidential elections, of which Trump has maintained his stance that fraud occurred. And just about everybody on the right, just about everybody except the rhinos on the right, agrees with that assessment. There was fraud in the 2020 election. And lots of it. Plus, there's the fear that it's going to happen again in 2024. But at least now, people know what to look out for. Speaking of Donald Trump, the establishment's attempts to stop him are failing. Despite indictments, his polling numbers look awesome. Two new polls show him with big leads over Biden, Haley, and DeSantis. Trump leads Biden 53% to 47%. He leads DeSantis 75% to 25%. And he leads Nikki Haley 79% to 21%. No small numbers. Wow. Now, according to Breitbart, two polls released on Tuesday show Trump dominating the Republican primary field, crushing his nearest opponents in hypothetical head-to-head races in one poll, and leading a field of six with two-thirds of support in another. Now, last night, they had that fourth presidential debate, GOP debate, and again, Donald Trump didn't attend, wasn't going to attend. Why should he, right? But the Iowa caucuses are now less than a month and a half away. And I think we're going to see a much clearer picture of what's going to happen in November, I think. Anyhow, a Messenger-Harris poll among registered Republican voters published Tuesday shows Trump dominating hypothetical head-to-head races with Haley and DeSantis. So, you know, here you have a pretty good idea of who the nominee is going to be. I've seen, I don't know how many op-eds written by knowledgeable people. For instance, Jonathan Turley, who's probably one of the most renowned constitutional scholars. Also, Alan Dershowitz. And both of these guys have said unequivocally that even if Trump is indicted, which I don't think he's going to be, he's not going to go to jail, and he is still eligible to run for president. So here we are. We're in December of 2023. We're 11 months away from the election. And I think you can pretty well bet that Donald Trump is going to be the GOP nominee. All right, let's go into the comedy corner. And I got to tell you, this is a real pleasure to introduce this fella. His name is Dustin Chafin, and he is so funny.
This is really cool. I like Utah. This is fun. I'm actually from Texas. Yeah, from a little town called Racism. Have you heard of it? Beautiful little town. I was actually in Texas recently and went to a rodeo. That was exciting. I did. Yeah, rodeo people. I saw a greasy pig contest for the very first time. I don't know if y'all have ever seen one. Maybe not. Most of you can read, but not much of a reader crowd at the greasy pig contest. It's more of a pop-up book and coloring situation. You don't know what a greasy pig contest is? Where they take a pig and they put Crisco cooking oil on it. Then they release it into a rodeo pen. And then all these little kids try to catch the pig. America. And nothing sums up our country more than this. This is truly who we are. It's amazing. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in life. It's slipping through the legs and arms and it can't get it. And the winner gets a GED. I think that's what the winner gets. Good start on life, you know? I love that laugh. You're the wind beneath my comedy wings. I like that. Marry that girl. All right, let's do it. It's Utah. We're already married. Okay, all right. So I actually went through a religious phase. I did. Some of you can relate, because you're like, we're still in it. All right. I dated this girl one time. I've dated like all the religions. I dated this girl one time. She was Jehovah's Witness. Yeah, we dated 2 years, a lot of problems. The main problem was every time she came over, I wouldn't let her in. That was just 2 years. She's knocking on the door. I'm hiding behind the couch. Oh, don't move. Jehovah. It's an interesting religion. It really is. Interesting religion. I'm fascinated by all the religions. They don't celebrate any holidays. Isn't that weird? That's the best part of religion. Why would you not do that? They don't celebrate birthdays, right? They don't celebrate Christmas. They don't even celebrate Halloween. You think it'd be the one holiday they celebrate. Everybody's out knocking on doors. Exactly. National holiday, you know what I mean? Doors open. I don't know. Whatever. She tried to teach me all the stuff, you know? She's like, you know, apparently only 144,000 people are going to make it into heaven. I'm thinking, those kind of odds, I don't have a prayer, you know? I could even get Hamilton tickets, like I'm going to get heaven tickets. Like, would I got to compete in line with Mother Teresa? I don't think so. Religion is fascinating. The Bible, yes, you know, let's talk about the Bible. I believe in the Bible, I do. I think all those people were there. I think a few things might have been exaggerated. We don't know, right? Jesus walking on the water, maybe. Maybe he was just walking on a sandbar. We don't really know, right? We've all been to Florida. Look, I'm Jesus. I'm walking. No? Okay. I get it. I dated a Hindu girl. I did. We actually got along great. We did. Never any beef.
Told you it was funny. Get out there and make it a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.